It is good to be with you today and for the next few days. My name is Father Patrick Hyde. I'm a Dominican priest. I'm the pastor of St. Paul Catholic Center on the campus of Indiana University, where I have served the past 7.5 years. This is my 5th year there as pastor. Father Meyer and I are swapping parishes this weekend. He's up in Bloomington. I'm down here as we both support and work on behalf of the Eucharistic National Eucharistic Revival. So there'll be events here in Dearborn County throughout the week to celebrate the revival. All of the talks will be the same. So if you can't make one, come to the next. They're not building upon each other. They're all together. It's a blessing to be with you. Before I get into the homily, I always think it's good whenever I go out to share the good news of what God is doing on college campuses. It's very easy for us to see the trends and all that's going on in the church and in the world and grow kind of morose and sad. But at IU and many other college campuses throughout the country, our Catholic faith is flourishing. Since I arrived 8 years ago in Bloomington, there has been a threefold increase in the number of students who we are serving and working with every single week. Not only that, but we have seen a 30% increase in mass attendance on Sundays. And right now, we've got 25 students before even Christmas who are preparing to become Catholic this year. God is doing wonderful and great things. So please pray for us and be assured of our prayers for you. And if you're ever in Bloomington, please come by and say hello to me or anyone there at St. Paul's. In our gospel today, we have an interesting story. Because we would stop and think, why is Jesus calling the 5 wise virgins those who would not share? This is the 25th chapter of Matthew's gospel. The very end of this chapter, Jesus says to his disciples that when I was hungry, you gave me thirst. When I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you gave me clothing. What you do for the least of these, you do for me. And yet at the beginning of that chapter, we have a deprivation where the wise virgins withhold from the foolish virgins. But we have to ask ourselves, why would then Jesus share that story with us? And fundamentally, this is a parable not about charity so much as it is about prudence. How easy is it for us, when something goes wrong, to blame other people or their imperfections or their lack of goodness or charity? When I was growing up and playing sports, if I made a mistake, I was the worst at this, I would blame somebody else. Even if I was the one who clearly and obviously made the mistake. If you had just thrown it a little bit higher, it wouldn't have fallen out of my glove. How easy is it for us to blame other people when if we actually look back at many of our problems in life start with imprudence on our part? The foolish virgins didn't have oil because they chose not to bring oil. They chose the imprudent path. They chose to rely on the charity of others instead of doing what they could do. And then when they were put into a difficult situation, their failure was exposed. And so often we see this happen in our lives, where we get to that point and we are exposed for our failure. And this is basically why I think one of the most important things we can take away from this gospel, but just in general, is that what the world needs from you and me is so much. It's everything, really. It's gospel. That's the measure of our love right there, the crucifix. But what the world needs, really, is for you and me to be prudent. And prudence, I'm a Dominican. St. Thomas Aquinas was a famous Dominican theologian. He talks a lot about the moral life. And he says prudence is the virtue that governs every other moral virtue. What is prudence? It's the right use of right reason in practice. It's choosing the best means to the best end and doing that repeatedly. We have to make the right choices. We have to act in accord with reason. We have to take everything into consideration as best as we can, and then we have to act. But often in our world, we are forced or told that we have to act only in accord with how I feel or my emotions. If you feel a certain way, you can do whatever you want, so long as everyone else is a willing participant and nobody gets hurt. But emotions, to be fair, is a source of information, but it's one of many sources of information. And in fact, our emotional knowledge is the lowest form of knowledge that we have. And the imprudent person acts according to his or her emotions. What we're called to is to take that emotions and then put them into dialogue with what has Christ taught us? What do the scriptures teach us? What is my experience with this particular person teach me about how I should react in this situation? Not only are we called to act emotionally, but we in this information social media age, we are called to act instantaneously. Anytime you are needed on something, you need to give me a fully fledged answer right now. If something happens in, you know, Guatemala tomorrow, the Archbishop of New York is expected to have a statement on that ready and out on the press. Everything is just fast, fast, fast. And yet, most of the time, we need to just step back, take a deep breath, think about our options, and then move forward. We don't need to give in to this lie that everything starts and stops according to my whim, according to my decisions. I'm not that important, neither are you. We can take time to make decisions. Now, sometimes an emergency comes up, you have to act with immediacy. But most of the time, we are imprudent because we dive straight into the action when we may need to think about it, talk about it, dialogue about that. And I get this all the time among my staff at St. Paul's. Someone will say, Father, what's your decision on X, Y, or Z? And I'll make a decision and I'll be 10 steps ahead. And then someone will say, well, I don't think that's a really good idea. And then I realize, yeah, it probably wasn't a good idea. And then we got to go all the way back to the start. And now we've wasted our time because we didn't take that time in the beginning. And so we're being called to identify those areas of our life that we walk into without the necessary tools, without the necessary equipment. Where are you imprudent in your life? What relationships require a greater amount of maturity, a greater amount of charity, a greater amount of courage? Prudence is going to dictate all of that. We have to look, though, at those areas where we're weak. Because in this gospel, I'd like to think that those five foolish virgins, the next time the bridegroom came in the middle of the night, they had oil aplenty because they learned from their mistakes. And that's how you and I grow in our prudence, is by recognizing where have I failed. The moral life is not about being perfect and maintaining it. It's learning from our imperfections so that we can grow closer and closer and closer to Jesus. The perfect is not the enemy of the good. We're just striving to be a little bit better each and every day and rejoicing in that. If we can be a little more loving, a little more charitable, a little more prepared for Mass, just a little bit more each and every week, we will grow closer and closer to Jesus and we will set the world on fire with his love. Because all of us are in need. All of us need to be filled. And this week during the Eucharistic Revival talks, I would like to spend time with you talking about how Jesus desires you, how Jesus chooses you, and how Jesus feeds you. And all the things that you need for your personal sanctification, salvation, for your prudence, for your growth as a saint, as a mother, as a father, as a husband, as a wife, as a business person. In every way, God desires to feed you with himself in the Eucharist. But we must go back there so that when we go forward, we are like the wise virgins, filled with that oil of gladness that comes only from God, to abide with him at the wedding banquet, both here and now, and with him forever in heaven.